Well, good morning. It's great to have you with us this morning. Welcome to our YouTube channel. And we trust that as we meet together around God's Word this morning, that you and I will really just know God's presence with us. This morning I want to read from the book of Colossians. This is the Word of God, as written in Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel, that has come to you. All over the world, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Well, this is God's Word. Let's pray as we come now to hear from God's Word. Heavenly Father, as we come now before you this morning, we ask and pray that you would open your Word to us. Help us to understand it. Be with me as I speak, that what I say would be your words and your thoughts and not my own. And Lord, working each one of our hearts, in your name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, I don't know if you've been watching the news lately or whether you've been looking at various social media clips, but there are numerous prophecies over this lockdown period. Lots of Christian pastors are saying things like, I've looked into the future of the year and the virus stops at the end of May. One person earlier on this year said that the virus would stop on the 24th of March this year. Well, one thing we know is that person is a false prophet, because their prediction or their prophecy did not come through. But friends, as we look at social media, as we watch TV shows, as we listen to Christians speak, how do we know the true Christian from the false Christian? How do we know who is a wolf in sheep's clothing and who isn't? Colossians is a letter that Paul has written to a church that was struggling with just these issues. It's a letter that Paul wrote while he was in fact in lockdown. He had no one there. He might have had a couple of visitors, but very sporadic. He wasn't able to meet together with fellow Christians. And Paul wrote this letter from lockdown. And one of the questions that the Colossian Christians were asking, or that at least the news that Paul got about the Colossian Christians, was, who should we believe? There are so many voices out there today. People today say, you've got all these troubles in your life because you do not have enough faith. They might say, you need to pray this verse over your life, and then things will come right. Many people see these things, and they use the Bible, they say whatever they like, and they use the Bible to present their truths. And I use truths in inverted commas. They claim healing with Bible passages. They convince us with eloquent arguments and discussions. And some of these messages contradict one another.
And it's led to the whole idea of who can we trust? One Christian says this, one Christian says that, and they contradict. Who do we believe? Well, friends, one of the primary means that a Christian knows what is right and what is wrong is by turning to God's Word, by turning to the Bible. And Paul writes to the Colossians to show them that what they have heard, what they have learned about the gospel is really theirs. This morning I want to have a look at three points, if you like, three comments. The first comment is a question, why should we look at this letter? And although I partly answered that, I want to have a look in a little bit more detail at what Paul is saying there. And then I've got two questions that I think all of us need to ask ourselves. The first question is, what is the true gospel? What is the true message of Jesus? And the second comment that I will make is, who are the true followers of Jesus? Who are the true Christians? Well, let's get stuck right in. Have a look at verses 1 and 2. It would be really helpful for you if you have your Bibles open in front of you, so that when I refer to the passage, you can see what is being read and see what is being said, and that you can investigate for yourself the truth of these claims. So chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul begins his letter in the customary way. In those days, they always began letters by signing off who it was from first, which actually made sense. Pretty much like our emails now, to, from, and then the content of the letter. Well, Paul does that. Paul, he's saying, this letter is from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and it's written by Timothy as well. So Paul and Timothy are writing this letter together. He then mentions who this letter is to. Look at verse 2. To the holy and faithful brothers, and remember the word brothers there, is more than just speaking about men. The word brothers is taken from the Greek word, which means mankind. So when Paul says here, to the holy and faithful brothers, he's actually saying to the holy and faithful Christians in Christ at Corinth, both male and female. And then Paul pronounces a blessing on them, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Paul's customary greeting to the readers in Colossae. But notice a couple of things here first about what Paul is actually getting on with. Paul, as he writes this letter, in chapter 4 and verse 18, just turn over the page there, look at the last verse of this letter. Paul says, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Paul would often write the final sentence or two of his letter in his own hand, almost as if he's signing it off with his signature, so that people would know that it is written by Paul and not some imposter. But Paul says, I write this greeting in my own hand, and then he says this, remember my chains. We're not quite sure whether Paul wrote this letter from Rome when he was imprisoned in Rome, or whether Paul wrote this letter from Caesarea. But actually it makes no difference, because what is important is that Paul is in the same circumstance that we're in today. He's in lockdown. He's not able to meet with fellow Christians. The odd visitor, as we see here, Timothy, and later on we'll come across this character by the name of Epaphras. But Paul is in lockdown. He's chained up. And he's received a visit from his friend Epaphras. And Epaphras has reported to Paul about what is happening in the church in Colossae. It's a church, in fact, that Paul has never visited. A church that Paul didn't plant. Epaphras planted this church. And in many ways, what Paul is now doing while he is in lockdown is Paul is using the technology at his hand, in his case, writing on a parchment and sending it as a letter. He's using the technology of his time to speak the truth of God to those he is not able to meet with. Friends, that's exactly what we're doing today. We're using the technology of today, videos, and we're presenting the gospel message to those of you who can't gather together. But Paul has also received some disturbing news about the church in Colossae. Some confusing news that the Colossians were a bit unhappy with or a bit confused about. Paul realizes that the church in Colossae is struggling with some teaching that is taking place there. Now, it's important to understand that in Paul's day, often at lunchtime, and in fact, this is probably the first recorded meetings of people gathering at lunchtime, that people would pay money to go and listen to great speakers, to the latest orator. And often in various places, in the marketplace, sometimes in halls, sometimes in buildings of some description, these people would stand up and they would proclaim their message, whatever it might be, and people would pay them money. And it seems that something like this was happening at the church in Colossae. Except it wasn't happening out in the marketplaces, it was happening in the church itself. New people had come into the church and they were proclaiming a message and people were flocking to them to listen to them. They were obviously very good speakers and they grabbed people's attention. But there was a lot of confusion. Because what these people were saying in the church was different from what Paul had been telling them through Epaphras when they planted that church. These teachers who had come into Colossae were teaching things, and we'll discover this as we work through this letter. These teachers were teaching things to the people and saying, oh, you guys are Christian, but you're not proper Christians yet. Because you haven't spoken in tongues. They were saying things like, oh, if you want to be a spirit-filled Christian, then you need to do this or that or the next thing. There were certain things that these people in Colossae were saying to the Christians and saying that only certain people can get this if they do certain things. Perhaps it was fasting. Perhaps it was getting a deeper knowledge of God's word. Perhaps it was thinking that, well, we're free of the law of God, therefore we can live like we want. Whatever it was, these teachings were in the church, and it was confusing people. What is the truth? What is going on? And friends, I hate to say, but it is not unlike our own world today. We have people telling us that unless we speak in tongues as Christians, we're not a proper Christian. We have people telling us that our lives are hard and full of struggles and difficulties because we do not have enough faith. We have people telling us that we should expect God's blessing on us and receive all that God has given us. And if we don't, it's because there's sin in our life. I don't like naming and shaming, but three names that really come to the fore in these ideas are Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, T.D. Jakes, and of course there's many others as well. that all say things like, with Christ I am successful. With Christ I am prosperous. With Christ I am healed. And so on. Then we have someone like Paul, who says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 24, as he's describing what sort of person he is and how much of a sinner he is, Paul says in chapter 7 and verse 24 of Romans, what a wretched man I am. What a contrast to what some of these popular Christian speakers, and I use Christian loosely there, what a contrast to what some of these Christian speakers are saying. They're saying in Christ we are prosperous, we have everything going for us. And Paul is saying, I'm a wretched man. I'm a sinner. Who's right? Who's wrong? The Colossians, friends, were facing similar worries and concerns within the church. Just have a look again down at chapter 2 of Colossians and verse 4. Paul says, I tell you this, so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. This is one of the issues that the Colossian Christians were facing. People came to them with brilliant arguments. I'm not the world's best orator. I'm not the world's best public speaker. There are others that grab our attention far better than I ever could. And these people are coming into the church and they're taking over and they're proclaiming a message that has been confused. The Colossian Christians do not know where to go. Then in chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul also says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and the basic principles of the world rather than on Christ. Again, it's the idea of people wrapping us around their fingers and convincing us that what they are saying is the truth. With more and more pastors uploading their talks onto YouTube and GodTube, and more people tuning in to DSTV channels like TBN or GodTV, how do we know the truth from the lie, especially in the church? Do all Christian pastors tell the truth? Do they all tell the truth of the Bible? Is every prophecy today from the Bible? Well, this is what Paul wants to address as he begins this letter. And he raises two questions. What is the true gospel? And friends, that is a massively important question. If we do not understand what the true gospel of God is about, we will be led astray by fine-sounding arguments. We will be led into deceptive thinking that is hollow. What is the true gospel? And I'm actually going to look at this passage backwards today because I want us first to understand what the true gospel is before looking at what a true Christian is. So Paul gives us a list here of what the true gospel really is. Now, remember that the word gospel is not actually a spiritual word. It is a word that was used in common everyday language during the time that Paul was writing. It was a word that literally just means good news. Any messenger that arrived at your home with good news would say, I've got the gospel to tell you. So what is this good news that the Bible tells us? We'll look at verse 5, the second half of verse 5, where we read here that you've already heard about in the word of truth. Now, that might not sound horribly helpful to us as in defining what the true gospel really is. Because what is truth, especially in our day and age? I might believe something, and you might say, well, I'm entitled to believe what I want to believe, and you might believe something else. I might claim it to be the truth, and you might claim your thing, which is completely contrary to mine, to be truth as well. Basically, today we really have one truthful saying, that is, there is no truth. But friends, the Bible speaks the truth. There is an absolute truth in this world. An absolute truth that we cannot add to, that we cannot take away from. The truth of the good news of Jesus. The good news of the Bible, that Jesus gave his life for sinners like you and like me, who died to deal with the punishment that we deserve, and was raised to life again so that you and I might have eternal life. Friends, that is the truth. If you have heard that, then you have heard the truth of the gospel. Then you have heard the true gospel. But friends, unfortunately, many people only tell us half of the truth. They might say to us, God wants good for you. And while that is absolutely true, it's only half the truth, because God will also judge us. People might say, God wants to give you his best. And while that is true, in that God wants the best for us, it is also only a half truth. Because God wants the best for us, but if we reject Jesus, we get God's wrath. If someone comes and says that Jesus is good, and if you want him, then you just need to follow him. If Jesus comes and says, you need to be a better Christian, you need to speak in tongues, friends, then you have added to the truth of the gospel. And it is impossible to add to the truth of the gospel. If someone says that you don't need to believe in Jesus as long as you have faith in something, and many religions claim that, oh, we serve the same God, just in different ways. We do not know the truth of the gospel. Where Jesus says, if you come to the Father any other way other than through Jesus, you do not know the Father. Unfortunately, today, friends, there are those within the church who claim these things and pass it off as Christian truth. Sure, we need to worry about the false teachers outside the church. But I think we need to be very concerned about those who only teach half the truth in the church. Half the truth of Jesus. When last have you heard a sermon on how sinful we are? Friends, if you can't answer that question, then perhaps you have not understood the true gospel. Many on the DSTV Christian channels only speak half-truth. I'm not saying all, and don't generalize and just throw out God TV and TVN. There are some good and helpful shows on there. But we need to discern between those who speak half the truth and those who speak the whole truth. Notice here that Paul tells us that the truth of the gospel is found in the word that we heard. The word, of course, is a reference to God's voice, to God's speaking. And Hebrews tells us that God doesn't speak to us today through angels and all sorts of other ways, but God speaks to us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the words that have been written for us in God's Word. Friends, if someone comes to you and says, I've got a word from God and it does not come from the Bible, it is not a word from God. If someone comes to you and throws a verse at you with no context and no explanation, we need to be very careful, friends, that we are not picking up on a half-truth here. Many of the popular verses that are thrown around in Christian circles, many of them that are thrown around to give you a positive outlook on life, are only half of the verse. There's verses in the Bible that say God works for the good of those who follow Him. And that verse is thrown around. People have it on little cards stuck up on their fridges. Verses around the house. God works for the good of those who love Him. Yes, that is absolutely right. But you know what the context of that verse says? It doesn't say that God works everything in our lives for good so that we can be prosperous and have everything that we want. The context of that verse, if you go and read that verse in the passage of the Bible that it is written in, it speaks about the fact that God works for the good of those who follow Him through the difficulties of life. For Paul, in Romans 8, where this passage is found, goes on to say that he knows that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Whether trouble or hardship or life or death or angels or demons, and so he carries on. The implication there is that God does work for the good of those who follow Him, but not so that we can get all the whims and the likes that I want, but so that He helps us through the difficult times. Lockdown's not easy, is it? We're all struggling. We all want to go out and do our thing. For many of us, myself included, there's no income coming in because of lockdown. It's hard. Why is this happening? Is it because I am unfaithful to God? Is it because you are perhaps got a sin in your life like I do? Is that why we're facing this? Well, friends, we need to remember that we live in a world that is filled with disease and cracking apart with earthquakes and volcanoes and so on. Because of sin. And God says to us, I'm going to use these difficult moments in your life for my good. How many of us in lockdown have been able to spend more time in God's Word? How many of us have had prayer times with our families because of lockdown? Do you see how God is using the good or using the bad in this world to bring glory to Him? Now notice that the truth of the gospel requires two things. Verse 6, to bear fruit and to grow. The idea here is not so much of a growing church, although that can apply, but rather a church that grows as individuals as they come closer and closer to God.
We've been doing quite a bit of gardening in lockdown because we can't do much else. Trimming, cutting, replanting, and so on. If I planted a plant and after a period of time it stops growing, I'm not going to leave that plant there just to be a dead piece of wood in the garden. I'm going to rip it out. You see, a plant needs to grow. And likewise, friends, Christians need to grow. If we are not growing as a Christian, then we need to question, are we truly a Christian? Because that is one of the things of being in the true gospel. Not just knowledge, but knowledge that leads to a lifestyle of living with Christ. A knowledge, a growth, fruit that comes not from human traditions, because we always do something this way. Doesn't come from the truths of men, but from the truths of the Bible. One last truth of the gospel is that it is something that needs to be learned. Verse 7, the gospel is not a mindless act of throwing out the fact and just blindly following what the pastor says. It is something that we need to learn. Something that we need to grow to understand. I've had people tell me that I'm just silly because I believe the Bible says it's just a whole bunch of lies, it's a bunch of theories in the sky, one person said to me. But friends, I'm not mindless. We need to learn, we need to apply our minds to what is in the Bible. If we don't understand something, let's go and investigate it. Go and ask your pastor. Drop us a comment in the comment sections below here in the video. Get hold of someone that knows to help you to understand it. What is going on here? Let's investigate. Let's learn what this truth is all about. See, it's possible that you are confused by the gospel and have at some stage been told it's because you do not have enough faith. Maybe you've tried Christianity and said, well, this doesn't really work for me. Friends, then you haven't been touched by the true nature of the gospel. We might be confused by some things that are written in the Bible. And although I've been to Bible college, there are still areas in the Bible that I do not know what is going on. But does that mean that I just throw the whole message out? No. It means that I come back to it and I carry on investigating and trying to understand it. Reading books, investigating, studying. So that I might learn what the truth is. So friends, if you're watching this video and you're not a Christian, don't just throw everything out and say, oh, well, I don't know what the hang's going on. Get hold of us. Drop us a comment below. Find a Christian friend. Read the Bible with them. Ask questions. And learn what the true gospel is. Friends, I think even in fact, if we are a Christian, we never get to the point where we say, oh, well, I know it all now. I remember one minister who's no longer in this fraternal here in Scottborough, who said at one stage, oh, I know the gospel. We've moved past that. Friends, there is never a moment as a Christian that we move past the gospel. There is never a moment where we push the gospel aside and say, well, that's that, I'm doing this now.
Paul is telling the Colossian Christians, this is what the true gospel is about. It is about Jesus. It is concerned not with a half-truth, but with the truth of the Word, the Bible, which we have heard. In other words, we've had to listen to something that speaks about God's truth. Now look at this amazing thing here, as we look at all this, verse 6. God's truth is a message of grace. Now grace is not something that we just say at mealtimes, thank you Lord for this food, amen. But grace is something that is given to us that we do not deserve. Not only not deserve, but that we have not earned. Grace would be paying our domestic workers during the full lockdown period, despite the fact that they are not working for us. That would be grace, friends. And God, through the truth of His gospel, brings us grace. Grace that He gives us something that we don't deserve. No other religion in the world has grace. You have to earn your way to that heavenly place, or to get to the right point. Christianity is about Jesus giving His life for us, despite the fact that you and I are sinners. If you feel too bad to accept the truth of the gospel, then you do not understand it properly, and I encourage you to get hold of us to come and find out more about that. If you think you are too good for the gospel, then I encourage you to get a hold of us. Because it's probable then that you have not heard the truth of the gospel. The gospel is about Jesus, who died for us in both our strength and our weakness, so that we might not only be forgiven of our wrong, but that we will be given life after death for eternity. This, friends, is the true gospel. Now, very quickly, and I know we've been going on this for quite a while, as we've been having a look at what is the true gospel. But lastly, who are the true Christians? And this, I want us to go back to the beginning of Paul's letter, verses 3 to 5. Paul begins his letter not only just by saying hi to all the Christians, but he gives thanks for the Colossian Christians. Notice in verse 3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Why is Paul always thanking God, the Father, for the Christians? The Colossian Christians. Well, look at verse 4. Because of three elements that they display in their life. The three very well-known elements that we often have posted around our homes. Faith, hope, and love. Now, if you have a look at verse 5, Paul says that our faith and our love spring from the hope that we have. Interesting, isn't it? It's not that Paul says, because of our faith and because of our love, we therefore have hope. Paul says, because we have hope, faith and love spring from that. See, it's the other way around. Paul tells us an amazing thing about true Christians. that although we have faith and love, it comes because of the hope we have in Christ Jesus. The hope that you will see here in verse 5 that is stored up in heaven for us. See, again, here's a nail in the coffin of the false teacher. Our hope is not in the things of this world. Many of the false Christians teach that if we are not rich, if we do not have everything going our own way today, it's because we do not have enough faith. Well, Paul tells us straight away here, we have faith because we have hope, because we have this eternal reward waiting for us, which Jesus actually tells us in the gospel, that is a reward that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It cannot be eaten by rust. It cannot be stolen by criminals. It's a reward stored for us in heaven. Friends, our ultimate aim in life is not to have everything go well, although that's always great and we thank God when times like that do happen. But our ultimate aim in life is to desire to be with God in heaven. Maybe the lockdown has forced us to think like this. I wish we could be free. Imagine, friends, what being in God's presence would be like, with no restrictions, no crying, no pain, no heartache. Isn't that something that we want to desire to live for? Friends, that is what should motivate us. Motivation is looking forward to what we have. I know for some of us, the motivation to continue in lockdown is the end of lockdown, so that we can get back to normal. And that's what keeps us going. I've had a couple of phone calls and discussions with people who are staying on their own, and that really hit them hard when lockdown was extended, because they put all their hope on being able to get out into the world again at the end of the first lockdown. But friends, our hope isn't dependent on whether the government allows us out or not. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us everything, every spiritual blessing, and a reward in heaven that can neither perish, spoil, or fade. And friends, out of that hope, two things come. Faith and love. Again, notice here that it's not about how much faith we have. The Bible never speaks about whether we have enough faith or not enough faith. It just urges us to have faith. And in fact, Jesus says that if we have the faith the size of a mustard seed, which is an extremely small seed, we can move mountains. It's not the volume of our faith that matters. It's what our faith is in. It's not blind faith. It's not throwing our intelligence out at the fairies in the sky. The true Christian believes not in a God, not in some derivative of God, or not in God's ability to remove struggles, but in the fact that Jesus died for my sin. That, friends, is what my faith is in. Notice how Paul says here, in verse 4, we have heard of your faith. He doesn't just leave it there. He doesn't say, we've just heard of your faith. For there are many people who are filled with faith in our world today. But how many people are filled with faith in Christ Jesus? That, friends, is the truth of the real, of a real Christian. My faith is in Christ Jesus. not determined by whether God can help me or God can't help me. It is in Jesus knowing that he forgave me of my sin. Because we have this eternal hope of what God has promised us, we trust what his Son did for us on the cross. But this flows into another element as well, and that is love. Not family love, as perhaps Helen and I and the kids have, but a godly love, which helps our fellow brothers and sisters out. Notice here, as Paul says in verse 4, we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love you have, not with your family, not with those you like, but with all the saints. In other words, the love that you have for all Christians around the world. Friends, Jesus showed his love for us by giving his life for us. Are we willing to show Jesus' love for others? Those within our church, those within the greater Christian community. There are a lot of people at this point, because of lockdown, that are struggling financially. Our domestic workers, for one. But within the church, there are those who are not getting an income. How are we, you and I, showing our Christian love to them? Oh, we'll help them, but not those ones. We don't like those people because they're different to us. We'll help these people because we like them. Friends, that's not Christian love. Christian love is helping all the saints. Unfortunately today, friends, there are too many Christians who are only interested in their own lives. I'll help you out, but don't let me go out of my way to help you out. If I'm in town next time, I will do this for you. If there's no financial implication for me, or perhaps, okay, I'll do this for you, but what are you going to do for me? Friends, Christian love does not ask for something back. Does not worry about whether I've got enough or not. For many of us, we have a home to live in. Might not be our own, but we have a roof over our head. For many of us, we have savings, that's up, which we can still survive on. Yes, we're eating our savings, but we have money. We have resources. There are Christians in our own community, friends, who do not have that. What are we doing in Christian love for them? Friends, if we have the hope in the treasures of heaven that is proclaimed through the true gospel, and we claim to have faith in Jesus Christ, then are you showing love to all those who claim such things? Friends, whether you're listening to this talk, whether you're watching it on YouTube, the question we need to ask for you is, do you believe the true gospel that speaks about Jesus forgiving us of our sin, not just about God's love, that speaks about both of them? Do you believe what the false teachers are teaching? Are you confused by them? Friends, turn to the Bible. What does the Bible have to say? Look at those verses that they're quoting in their context. What does the context mean for that verse? Friends, if you don't believe the true gospel, then get hold of us today. You can comment below, you can find us on our website and drop us a mail. Or perhaps if you've got our number, get hold of us. But don't be content, friends, with just any old false hope. The true Christian message of the gospel gives us an eternal hope, well beyond lockdown. A hope that Paul could have while he was locked down. Friends, if you do believe the true gospel and have put your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, then firstly ensure that your love for your fellow brothers and sisters is there. Not determined by race, not determined by social standing or economic grouping. Where's your Christian love? And second, take courage in the fact that you are no longer on your own, but you have a new family in Christ, a new family of Christians who love and care for you. Friends, let's stay strong in the Lord. Let's give thanks to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ because of the faith we have in Him. And let's love and show our love to all the saints. And show our love because of the hope we have in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for our time together this morning. Although, Lord, it might have been heavy going as we've had a look at what the true gospel is and what a true Christian is. We ask and pray, Lord, that you would help us to push aside those who try to convince us with fine-sounding arguments, things that aren't in the Bible. Help us, Lord, to be true Christians as we follow the true word that you have given us, the true gospel. Lord, help us not to get sucked up with all these false teachers out there, but help us to live for you, as we show our faith and our hope in the love that we have for all the saints. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.